The following lecture, titled Rise to the Challenge of Leadership, was recorded Sunday, February the 15th, 1998, on the campus of Fayetteville State University, Fulton Chapel Arena, Fayetteville, North Carolina. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
We praise God and we give the greetings of peace to you. In our language, the language of Muslims all over the world, no matter what language we speak, we give the greetings all in the same language, Assalamu alaikum. We praise God and witness that He is one, the Lord, creator of everything, who cares about all that He created, and especially the human being that He created, to be responsible for his environment, to contribute to the creation of God by serving the will of God for himself and for his environment. Islam is a religion that connects man back to his beginning in the father or the first ancestor, Adam, to remind us of what we should inherit as our responsibility. Adam was created representing mankind, the beginning of mankind, and also the life and destiny of mankind. He was created, and God gave him responsibility for everything in his environment. And Allah revealed the Quran supporting that perception or that idea of the beginning of man that we find in the Bible. Allah revealed the Quran supporting it, saying that He created man to be Khalifa, to be Khalifa. And Khalifa means to inherit responsibility, to serve the will of God, and to utilize, to get good use, make good use of everything that God has surrounded us with, of what we call the beautiful natural creation, and everything else that will come into this creation. God says that He has made it to yield its benefits to the man that He created. Everything in the skies and in the earth and in between, God has created it to yield this benefit to man. We cannot get that benefit if we don't come alive, wake up and come alive in our minds, that is our rational mind, our intellects. That's where we have to come alive and wake up there. Then we can get the benefit. So Prophet Muhammad, supporting this, what I have said, Prophet Muhammad, the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, he said, God did not create anything better than the human intellect. Nothing created better than the human intellect. And then science progresses, and now we understand that saying to be supported by science. Science describes the human being as Homo sapien. And Homo sapien means thinking man. Thinking man, rational mind, rational man, man with an intellect. Intellect means ability to think and reason. Think and reason, to use your rational powers, to make judgments, etc. This is our description in science, as well as the picture that God gives us. Now, we know the importance of the human heart and the human soul, you know, but sometimes we forget that soul and the human heart has been created to express itself through the instrument of the human mind, the intellect. If your mind is not working in good order, we won't see the beauty of your heart. If your mind is not working in good order, we won't see the beauty of your soul. All of that might be destroyed. Now, we know there's an exception. Some people go stark raving mad, but they're still able to show us the beauty of their souls. I have ran into somebody just like that, crazy in hell, but if you just stay there with them long enough, you'll see the beauty of their soul, you know, and enraged by everything. But if you stay with them long enough, you'll see the beauty of their soul. So that's the exception, though, you know, retarded, some retarded, but we still can see the beauty of their soul. That's the exception. Most people who lose the good control and good condition of their brain, of the rational mind, they can't express it, the beauty of their souls and the beauty of their hearts. And I think it's Nat Cole. I'm a fan of Nat Cole even now. I still got his numbers, and I still sing them in my home when nobody's around. In one of his songs, he had the expression, "My foolish heart, my foolish heart." A lot of us don't know the heart can become foolish. If the heart doesn't get support from the rational mind, it will become foolish. And I have had a foolish heart at some periods of time in my young life. Foolish heart. I just messed myself up and made myself so miserable, giving in to my heart without rational guidance. Yeah, I loved the woman so much until it made me crazy. And I had, one day, God blessed me to come back and trust my rational judgment. And I started trusting rational judgment, and I finally found an answer. And I did what my father said. I looked at her and I said, "So long, girl." That's what my father told me to do when I was all messed up. I couldn't do it. But years later, I got the strength to do that. I said, "So long, girl." And that was the end of that, you know. So don't underestimate the role, the value and role of the rational mind. If the rational mind has led the way, education, the rational mind seeking to know God's creation, seeking to know God's will for man on this earth, the rational mind has been able to lead us down the path or up the path or in the path of education. Correct education, quality education, useful knowledge, as Prophet Muhammad put it, useful knowledge, useful sciences, and useful knowledge to benefit society, to benefit us. So don't underestimate this. And religion is revealed to his prophets from the beginning till now, to the last prophet, that is. Religion is revealed to awaken the heart and the intellect. But because we are confused in this world, our brain, the senses, our experience is not good enough to protect us from deviating from the way that God has created us to go. Sometimes the heart becomes so ignorant, so foolish, that the brain can't make one step in the path of progress. And then God has to find a human being who still has his heart in good condition. And the world starts all over again because God finds someone and gives that someone to us who has his heart in solid, good condition. And God doesn't say he revealed the Quran to Muhammad's brain because Muhammad was unlearned. He was unschooled. He was not the son or follower of any religious scriptural traditions. So God didn't say he revealed it to his brain. God says, "And we revealed it upon your heart." And we revealed it upon your heart. And because his heart was in good condition, God invested the knowledge in Muhammad's heart. And then the knowledge itself, accepted in the heart, began to register on the intellect, the brain. It began to register on the brain, the intellect. I can tell you this now as though I was there witnessing it. Why? Because I experienced the same thing. I had an innocent heart, so God, because of my innocent heart, God guided me to guidance. God guided me to the guidance. And because my heart was in good condition, my mind began to register what my heart was accepting. And it came to blossom like a plant in my mind, though it was beneath the soil at first in my heart. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. So we know our benefactor. Our benefactor is God, the Lord creator of all of us. That's our greatest benefactor. And man takes too much credit. We are here with the topic of leadership. We want to rise to the challenge of leadership. The challenge of leadership. We praise God, who is the Lord creator of everything, most merciful and most generous, our benefactor, our redeemer. We praise him. And we follow the word of God as revealed to us in the Quran. And we follow the model human person, Muhammad, the prophet, the son of Abdullah. Prayers and peace be upon him. Leadership for us developed when we were ourselves a people restricted to plantation service, work, slavery. We were not free to develop our intellects. Our intellects were enslaved, or at least held back. I don't think you can enslave the intellect, not of a healthy-minded person. But it was at least held back from being expressed, from having the freedom to express itself in America, on this continent. And there developed for us leadership. I'm sure there was leadership for us. There was leadership for us before Frederick Douglass. But it's kind of difficult to point to them before Frederick Douglass. But it's easy to identify Frederick Douglass as a great leader for the freedom struggle or the freedom movement. Frederick Douglass. A man of great intellect, a man of superior intellect, who himself had manifested his intelligence, his ability to be a leader for the freedom struggle while he was yet a slave. While he was yet a slave. Freedom hadn't come yet. And many others came after him, one after another, sometimes many existing in the same time period. In the time of Booker T. Washington, there was W.E. Du Bois and others. One of the more recent ones that I recall who was serving us as leader and a leadership that we could recognize was Benjamin Mays, Benjamin E. Mays, a wonderful man that I was blessed to get to know personally before he died. And may God give him paradise. Yes, Benjamin E. Mays, we have a history of accountable, responsible, morally excellent leadership. We have a history, but we lost it. Freedom blinded our eyes. Freedom blinded our eyes. Blinded our eyes to what had supported our progress. We were blind. We start thinking of money and black power. The wrong ideas filled our minds and hearts. And soon we forgot the great traditional African-American leadership that God gave us. Yes, God gave us Frederick Douglass. God gave us Booker T. Washington. God gave us Du Bois, W.E.B. Du Bois. God gave us Mary MacLeod Bethune. God gave us these great giants. But we lost the connection with our great leadership. And now, with a new awakening, a new moral awakening, not just for us African Americans, there's a moral awakening going on for all Americans and for all the world. We talk about a global village and one world order. There's a moral movement as well as a material movement bringing that to be. There's a moral movement because the material progress has turned on the intellect and made the fellow who was too dumb to realize what he was entitled to wise enough now to realize what he's entitled to. The material movement, business, economics, technology, the great powerful media, especially television, bringing all this information to every home, even to Robert Taylor Holmes, that my good business partner represents. He's doing a great work there. Those people seem to be animals. The media focus in on them, you know, as a project of animals. Dangerous place that you should stay away from if you don't want to get killed or raped. If you're a woman, don't want to get raped. But it's not that bad at all. There are human beings there. But those human beings have been cut off from human life. From human life. A human being is a rational creature. We can't learn human life on our own. No human being can learn human life to themselves. You put a human being in the jungle, he won't learn human life. he learns the life of the jungles, not human life. Science has taught us, proven that to us, and given us experiments and the proof that that's the case for a human being. But if you put that human being in a good social human environment, then that human being becomes a human being. Yes. So we are intellect, and the intellect decides for us. So you can be in civilized environment. You can be in a civilized environment. But if something happened to turn your intellect off, to make you not care about how you think, how you reason, you can lose your human life though you're in a good human environment. And that's what is happening. The popular culture, with all of its bad influences for creating animals and mechanical beings, make a stone get up and walk. You know, that's the new popular culture we got. You know, it turns animates everything. Right, right. It animates spit. You spit, and that spit turns into a human being. That's why you see that spit running across the street. Right. Crazy in hell, but that spit is alive. That's what our popular culture is doing for us. I enjoy this, buddy. So please, register what God has revealed in the Bible and also in the Quran, and the role that God has given to man. We know we are passionate creatures. We enjoy expressing passions and all that. But don't forget that passions without the mind, passions without the support of the rational mind, can be a fire that can consume you. Passions can turn into a destructive fire that can consume your human nature, your human content, burn it out, make you a heap of ashes. And out of the ashes will come a new beast on earth. Up from the ashes will come a new beast to terrorize this world. So be aware of these things and respect the concept of man and the job for man and the destination or the destiny of man that God has revealed. And you can't get that without great leadership. We're not going to get anywhere following any and everybody. We have to be selective. Again, the rational mind has to take over. We have to be selective and select leaders that are fit to lead human beings to the human destination as a community of people or as a social group. We want social establishment. That's what we want. And social establishment is seen in community. That's where you see social establishment, in community. To be socially established means to have a good life for yourself, not alone, but yourself with your loved ones, yourself with your wife, yourself with your children, yourself with your friends and your co-workers, etc., yourself with your neighbors on the block, to have a good life as a member of a larger group, of a bigger group, of more than one. And really, when you really study the scripture to know just what God was talking about when he was talking about Adam. Yes, God gave us a single picture of a single person, but the Quran helps us to understand, and the Bible, I studied both, the Quran helps us to understand what is meant by the single picture. God says, he's the one who made your single picture. Huh? He's the one who made your single picture. And he made it most beautiful and most excellent. Excellent means that it can perform excellently in the field of its responsibility as inheritor, or Khalifa, who inherits God's guidance for mankind. The inheritor who inherits God's guidance for mankind. In other words, it can perform excellently. It can perform beautifully and excellently in the field of cultivating the environment so that the environment be a paradise, so to speak, for human beings. Now, to do that, you need great science. You need science. You need great insight into the nature of the things God has created. You need science. And God says that he created the human being with that ability. He says, look at your single picture. He wants us to see the single picture that he made most beautiful and most excellent. Your single picture. Surah, using the single. This is the Arabic term for it. He made your single picture. He said he made it most beautiful, most useful, most beneficial, etc. What is that single picture? That single picture is our humanity that God created us for. God created us to have humanity. Look in the dictionary and see what it means if you don't know. Use that intellect of yours. And He created us for our humanity, to be human and to have excellent humanity, what we call humanity. Excellent human form, excellent human sensitivities, excellent human aspirations, excellent human behavior and performance, etc. That's what God has created us for. So that we all recognize, I don't care if you never picked up a dictionary, all of us know what human means. Human means your better self. Human means your true self. Human means your better self. Human means your true self. We say, hey man, at least be human by me. You know, I've heard that expression. Hey man, at least try to be human by me, man, you know. I'm a human being. We will assert that. When we're treated like a dog or like a wild animal or beast or something and we don't like it, we say, hey man, I'm human. Respect me some, man. I'm human. Okay, well that voice is coming from the content that God created. That voice is coming from the identity, your identity, that God wants in you. And God wants that identity to become basic, fundamental, and incorporate all of identity. Let it become basic, fundamental, I repeat, and incorporate all of identity. So I'm firstly and lastly a human person with my humanity. And first, I'm that firstly and lastly. The Bible says in the Gospel, the New Testament, so as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And God made us human in the beginning. We lose that and become beasts somewhere in between the beginning and the end. But God says, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And I will even go further than that, my pastor and friend, brother. Where's brother? There he is. I will go even further than that to say that in the beginning, God put us in paradise. And so shall it be in the end. And not necessarily up there. All over. Yes. So we are given a soul and a nature to seek the beginning, the origin, that beginning condition for ourselves again. And in the process of growing materially, blossoming above the surface of the ground, we have a lot of challenges from the environment. You know, you get a lot to eat, a lot to drink, and a lot of this, a lot of that. There's a tendency to eat and drink and go to sleep. And when you wake up, you might wake up in a nightmare and think that's daybreak. So that happens sometimes. But God knows what we're going to run into. God knows what we're going to stumble or how we're going to stumble and fall and eat too much and get drunk and can't see straight. God knew all that. So God told the angels when they said, God, we have believed in you and we obey you. We follow you in obedience. But this, what you're going to create, will have its own mind and will cause bloodshed, etc. God responded to the angels. This is in the Quran. God, in our holy book, God responded to the angels and said, I know what you know not. Then God told the man that he was presenting to the angels for him to see. Now all of this is like on a screen. The world is not even created yet. God is showing on a screen, the angels, what he's going to do. So they look on the screen and the man appears on the screen. And God says, man, Adam, my man, I'm creating. He says I'm creating means that he's in the process of creating him. He's not finished yet. He says, tell these angels. Now at first he asked the angels, said, angels, tell me your names. And the angels replied to God, we have no knowledge except what you gave to us. Then he said, Adam, this is the man, he said, tell them their names. That's right. And Adam spoke and told the angels their names. And when he did that, all the angels submitted to God's plan, except one, and he was the leader of the angels. He's called Iblis in our theology or in our teachings. He's called Iblis. And he felt too proud to submit to the man that God was going to create. And he was leader of the angels. He was leader of the angels. Only the leader refused to accept God's plan for man. And so God says, didn't I tell you that I know the open and the hidden? The open and the hidden. What is revealed and what is secret? That's what God said to them, to all of them. And God said to man, Adam, tell them their names. And he told them their names. So this means that God created man to serve his will in the world of human existence. In the world of human existence, where human beings have to be communicated to as rational creatures, God made man to be the leader, not an angel. God says that there had been angels populating the world of man. He said he would have sent an angel as a messenger to them. He said, well, since there was human beings populating this world, he sent you a human being as a messenger. As a messenger. Now we know angels are also messengers, and angels come as messengers. In fact, angels have to come from God with God's message. They are the medium. Angel is the medium, the most important medium for receiving communications directly from God. Yes, we know that. But they can't come down here and teach us. No, they can't teach us. They are not creatures of our nature. What nature? Rational nature. Rational nature. They obey without thinking. They just respond automatically. They don't question anything. God has created us to question, to ask questions, to be curious, to be skeptical. With all of these features, man is the greatest and most productive creature. What has Michael created in our environment? What has Israfil created? What has the archangel, the great archangel, Gabriel, what has he created? I see the products of man's intellect. The world is filled, my environment is filled with the products of man's intellect. And most of these products, nobody claims that he's a prophet. Nobody says, I'm a prophet, I'm a messenger of God. All of these wonderful things invented, no one saying, I'm a messenger of God, the angel brought me this. No, he said, I use my human instruments. I use my human instruments, my human instrument. The mind that God points us to, and Muhammad says is the greatest thing God created, the intellect. He said, I use this intellect. And I used it in the field of God's works, God's creation. And that's how I was able to bring you these, all of these comforts, all of these wonderful inventions and comforts. That's man. Yes. So earlier we heard from the same sister representing the women's organization and Mary MacLeod Bethune. She mentioned faith. We have to have faith in each other, faith in the people, faith in ourselves, faith. And that's very important. A great preacher who has his television ministry, Dr. Robert Shuler, he comes on sometimes and he says, I believe in God. Or he might say Jesus, I don't know. Peace be upon Jesus Christ. He said, I believe in God. And then he pauses. He let that sink in. He said, and I believe in you. And that's what God wants. God wants us to believe in God, and God wants us to believe in humanity. Believe in God and believe in humanity. I say humanity. God wants us to believe in God and believe in humanity. So if you see humanity well established in a person, believe in that person, because that's their true self. Our humanity is our true self, the real self. Believe in that person. Allah says, believe in God and believe in his messenger. That's a man. God says, believe in God and believe in his messenger. So we need to have faith in our Lord Creator first to understand what our reality is, so we can appreciate our great reality as his creation. Then that will give us, lead us to faith in ourselves, faith in our creation, human creation, and faith in leaders who are established very strongly in that excellent picture that God says is the single picture that he wants for all of us. So when I come into that, there's no room for any racism, and I understand that. How can I be a racist? When God has shown me that the best identity for me is not my physical picture. The best identity for me is my abstract picture. You can't take a photo of my intellect. You can't take a photo of my taqwa. We mean religious consciousness, for God's sake. Our consciousness that we submit to God's sake, to God. We call it taqwa. This is the Arabic term for it, the Islamic term for it. You can't take a photo of my taqwa. You can't take a photo of my fujur. My fujur is the urge in my intellect that wants to build that home for me that God wants me to have. Wants me to get with these brothers, the members of CPC, and get that home on earth that God wants me to have. That's my fujur. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, see, I don't know, number one way to talk, plain and open. So if I use terms that the audience is not familiar with, I have to break them down. Yeah, okay. Okay. So you can't realize that fujur. You can't have that fujur until you first get the word guidance from God and see yourself in the real reality that God intended for you. Then you will know your true self. Then you will know your real picture, that single picture. And when you have that, you can't be racist. Because really, we're not looking at black and white, blunt and sharp features. We're looking at our humanity in its full picture, our humanity. So if someone could take a picture of our abstract value, there'd be one picture, wouldn't it? If that could be captured on a screen, that would be one picture. They say, hey, pick out the Russian. I say, it's impossible, man. You're only showing me the abstract human being. So that's what God wants us to see. He said, I'm the one who made your picture and made your picture most excellent and filled it with usefulness so that you can benefit so much from it. And we know it's only when the human being comes into that appreciation of themselves that they begin to develop and show the world there are many resources. It's only then. This country is not great because we had great intellects only. It's great because those great intellects perceive the identity of man or human beings that God wants man to perceive. We hold these truths, truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator, that's God, with inalienable rights, rights that can't be taken away from them. Some say unalienable, I guess that's all right too. With inalienable rights means rights that God gave you. God created you with these rights. With inalienable rights. And among them, what? Life, right to life, liberty. Liberty means more than just freedom. Freedom means movement, opportunity to move, opportunity to go out of this place to that place. Freedom means movement. But liberty means a little more than that. Liberty means movement and also growth in quality. Liberty is growth in the quality of your life and also growth in expression. Growth in expression and growth in quality. Expression of content and also progress for that content. Progress for that content. So liberty suggests also right to education. Right to education. That's what liberty suggests. And we have the liberal arts still connected with that term. Yes, yes. So this is what God said, that the founding fathers perceived that language and they gave it to us. Life, liberty, lastly, the pursuit of happiness. the pursuit of happiness. Now, brothers, that's where we get together and go to work. Pursuit of happiness. Yeah. See, you can have life and go nowhere. You can have liberty and shoot straight up in the sky like an inflated balloon with very light gas and get out of it with a string on it and someone get excited and let go of the string, like Brother David did. He got excited, David, our son, he got excited talking about me, and he let go of the string, and I saw myself go up and disappear in the sky. I said, forget about that. I said, forget about that perception that he gave of me. I'm going to have to be transformed and come again from the earth. The pursuit of happiness. And, the interpreters of the language of the Constitution, they interpreted pursuit of happiness mean the right to own property. Am I correct? We have our people here to tell us, our leaders in the government, they can tell us whether we're right or wrong here. The right to own property. That's the pursuit of happiness. Now tell me, how in the world is a human being, male or female, adult or growing to be adult, thinking human being, going to be satisfied, going to be happy with no possessions? good clothes make you happy. Yeah, you get good clothes, you clothe yourself night, that makes you happy. Good food on the table makes you happy. The rent paid for the nice apartment, it makes you happy. The nice car to drive around, get to the place, it makes you happy. Oh, but that's kind of materialistic, isn't it? Yes, it's materialistic with a strong spiritual core. And if you don't keep that strong spiritual core, then you'll become very unhappy with all those possessions. So you find somebody with a whole lot of possessions of the goods that God has created for us, and God says that. God asks the question in our holy book. Say, who has said to my servants, to my religious faithful servants, who has said to them that these things, these goods of the world, are forbidden to them? God says, no, they are not forbidden. They are lawful for them and exclusively for them in the resurrection. Isn't that wonderful? Exclusively for them. When everything is concluded by God, and Satan has had his freedom to do all of his works, and God brings it all to a conclusion, it ain't going to be for Satan anymore. Satan going to be cut out. That's what God's saying. Satan and his followers are going to be cut out of these things. Wouldn't that be wonderful today when we could see Satan and his followers cut out of money? Oh! Woo! We select leadership very carefully and make sure that they're based in humanity and they have that spiritual core. All right? They're people of principle with our future interests way down the road at heart. If we select them very carefully, buddy, we can cut Satan out of a big share that he got now of these goods that God created for his servants. Thank you very much. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-862-5228. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.